How do U.S. Navy leaders see power evolving at the dawn of the information age? Produced by Defense News and Military Times, this is the Early Bird Brief. Each morning, we bring you the defense and national security news of the day. C4ISR Net reporter Colin Demarest joins us to share more about the military's relationship with information warfare. What does it all mean for defense and security? You'll find out. I'm your host, Jonathan Lehrfeld. Today is Monday, March 4th, 2024. Colin, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So as the Department of Defense prepares for potential confrontations with Russia or China and is juggling counterterrorism operations in the greater Middle East and Africa, in what ways is it emphasizing data?
You'll hear a lot of military leaders using this expression, data as ammunition. I think it's a bit cliche, but I think it answers this question. The Defense Department wants the best data it can get sent to those who need it most and at lightning speed, or as close to lightning speed as they can get. This concept is often referred to as Combined Joint All Domain Command and Control, or CJADC2. And then there's also this concept of information warfare, you know, swaying public opinions, using offensive and defensive electronic capabilities, and wielding cyber weapons that can disorient or disrupt an enemy force. All of the above, I think, goes into this idea of putting data on a pedestal, especially when you consider the very high-tech or very tech-heavy fights of the future.
In what ways is the Pentagon falling behind, though, in those measures?
I think the Pentagon, you know, stacks up pretty well, has a pretty robust information warfare ability. But one good example of maybe a shortfall is in the Pentagon's own 2023 strategy for operations in the information environment. That congressionally mandated document said the military lacks the ability to quickly deploy personnel that can fend off online influence campaigns, for example, and added that defense officials must act now to build up those so-called information forces. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin contributed to the preface of that strategy where he wrote, and I quote, "Make no mistake, America's competitors and enemies are moving quickly in the information environment, hoping to offset our enduring strategic advantages elsewhere." Measuring effectiveness of these non-kinetic effects, though, can be a little tricky. You can obviously study the crater a bomb leaves behind and engineer around that. It's harder, I think, to pull such concrete metrics when we're talking about changing people's attitudes or behaviors or habits.
In what ways have maybe state actors and extremist groups exploited the information ecosystem? Are there examples that you can share with us?
Top of mind, I think, are elections. That's probably the most relatable to everybody out there or listeners. The federal government has said repeatedly that Russian agents tried to sway the 2016 and 2020 elections. In the meantime, though, Cyber Command and CISA officials have said more recent contests have been secure and that they are keeping close watch on the 2024 cycle as well. Outside of elections, just look at China and its fire hose of propaganda, especially in relation to Taiwan, or what extremist groups in the Middle East, like the Iran-backed Houthis, pump out on social media channels like Telegram.
What can you tell us about Admiral Samuel Paparo's recent comments?
Admiral Paparo is one of the keynote speakers at the West Naval Conference hosted by AFSEA and the U.S. Naval Institute in San Diego. During his speech last month, he said militaries the world over are operating at the dawn of the information age, what he called another epochal change. Of note, I think, was this quote.
"Who competes best in this? Who adapts better? Who's better able to combine data, computing power, AI, and who can win the first battle, likely, in space, cyber, and the information domain shall prevail."
It's pretty punchy, and I think it gets to the heart of this discussion we're having here today.
So how is the Navy using information warfare specialists aboard, say, submarines to combat this issue?
The Navy in 2022 embedded information warfare specialists on submarines to study how their expertise could aid underwater operations. The results were overwhelmingly positive, service officials have told reporters. So that pilot is now moving into its second phase, in which information professional officers and cryptologic technicians will join two East Coast subs, the Delaware and the California. And something else to mention here is that the Navy made information warfare commanders fixtures of carrier strike groups years ago.
Okay, let's talk more about the Houthis. How has information warfare been used against them in the Middle East?
Elizabeth Nashhold, the deputy at Naval Information Forces Command, discussed this quite a bit at the West Conference, where Paparo spoke as well. According to her, tenets of info warfare, situational awareness, assured command and control, and the confluence of intelligence and guns, basically, were used to both zap drones and missiles in the Red Sea, as well as support the retaliatory strikes across the greater Middle East. Part of info warfare is the collection analysis of data and then applying those insights, right? So previous knowledge about Houthi and Iranian arms and installations made U.S. responses easier, albeit still dangerous. And if you zoom out, one could consider the U.S. and international messaging about the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden attacks a form of info warfare as well. These statements made by defense leaders are not made willy-nilly or just off the cuff and are meant to convey a certain point. Whether or not they're having the intended effect, though, is another question that someone else can answer.
What can you say about the Navy's plans to introduce 20 information warfare systems into its live, virtual, and constructive environments?
The service wants to install 20 information warfare systems into its live, virtual, and constructive environments, or LVC. Basically, they're simulation and gaming ecosystems where training takes place. The first few, which are focused on cryptology, meteorology, and oceanography, are expected at the end of fiscal 2025. And some of these information warfare systems are super sensitive, as you can imagine. So doing it in a secure virtual world is one way to prevent Russia or China or someone else from taking a peek.
Can you remind listeners about the Navy's inaugural cyber strategy that was published late last year?
Yeah, the strategy was published in November, and it really emphasized the value of digital weaponry, cyber attacks, jamming, spoofing, and that sort of stuff. Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro said the lessons included in the strategy were derived from decades of real-world operations and will shape decades to come, basically. And I think it's worth a read if you're into this kind of stuff. It's mercifully short at 14 pages, so you can bang it out.
Before we wrap up, what else do you think listeners should know who are less familiar about information warfare?
I think information warfare is a bit of an umbrella term that really, you know, sits over a lot of disciplines, including electronic warfare and, you know, even things like oceanography, understanding the weather to really get an understanding of when one should attack. I think a lot of things that happen with the military are supported by information warfare, and that might go understood, if that makes sense, by the general audience.
That's it for us this morning. To get more of the top stories and breaking news, go to defensenews.com/EBB to subscribe to the Early Bird Brief newsletter. Please give us a like, rating, and a comment wherever you get your podcasts. And be sure to follow us on social media @defense_news and @MilitaryTimes. The Early Bird Brief is hosted by me, Jonathan Lehrfeld, and produced by Zimon Z. Perez. If you liked our conversation with Colin, be sure to check out his story soon at defensenews.com. Our editor-in-chief is Mike Gross. Have a great day.